Thank you for downloading this William Hill podcast. You can get the latest odds, offers, and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app, and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by John Babb to look ahead to the best of Thursday's racing. Really, really good day of racing coming up as well. We've got the Craven Stakes to look forward to from Newmarket. There's some really competitive action at Cheltenham. Good card at Ripon as well to look forward to. So plenty to get our teeth stuck into on Thursday. Hello, John Babb. How are you?
Hello, Alex. Done.
Everything all right?
Fine, thank you.
Good. Yeah. As I said, it's a sort of strange week, this, isn't it? You've had the National. You've got the jumps racing still very much prevalent. We're going to look at three races at Cheltenham as well as the feature, the Craven at Newmarket. But it is a strange week in that you've got high-class racing both on the flat and over jumps.
Yeah, it is that time of year, isn't it? Sort of when a lot of the sort of jump racing comes to a bit of a culmination. So we have, on some of the Saturdays as well, we do get sort of very good racing in both codes. On Saturday, we'll obviously have good racing from Ayr and also at Newbury. Mm. And obviously, we've got things like the Punchestown Festival coming up soon, and that'll be clashing with also big meetings over here as well. So
yeah,
it's that time of year.
We're going to focus on the Craven first at Newmarket. As I said, we do have three at Cheltenham to come up, purely because I think at the end of the jump season as well, it can be a little... There are some horses that have clearly just sort of gone over the top, aren't there? Whereas with these early flat season, although they're very informative, from a betting point of view, they can be quite difficult.
They're very hard. And they're really things that, as in the job that I do, we're really using them for information for the next few weeks to be looking to bet from rather than to be heavily betting in. Mm. Whereas I think on the jumps at the moment, I'm tending to be looking for fresher horses, and horses that I think will go on the ground, although my first selection today, or probably people will raise their eyebrows and think, where's he come up with that one from? But
okay.
I'm slightly different to the other two selections, but that's really what I'm looking for, is horses that are going to go on the drying ground, had a relatively light campaign, and you can see why they're being aimed at this particular race rather than just an afterthought. Oh, we'll have a go at that one before we put them away for the summer.
Okay, so, right. Well, we'll start with the Craven coming up at 4:05 from Newmarket. It's a Group 3 contest over a mile. 7 runners going to post. The ground's officially good to firm in places. That's prior to racing on Wednesday. And as I said, 7 runners going to post. This race, of course, last year went to Tormore, the year before to Toronado, and Trumpet Major the year before that. So Richard Hannon does have a very good record in this race. And Cool Company runs for him here. Not a horse that you'd imagine would be favourite, maybe. Consistent enough last year at a certain level. But he also runs Mohit, and Frankie Dettori takes the ride on that. You'd imagine that's probably the first string, if you like. Jockey booking's hard to go on, of course, because Frankie is retained by Al Shikab Racing. But it is a race where you couldn't really rule many of them out, could you, John?
Well, no, it is difficult. I'm not sure I'd say anything about which one would be the first fancied out of the two, but I think Cool Company's probably taking his chance here. Let's see if he stays a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And might as well just find out at the start of the season and see where we're going from here, because they can revise their plans and possibly go back to sprinting after that. He's obviously got his entry in the 2,000 guineas and in the Irish 2,000 guineas, so connections will be hopeful that he gets the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Mohit made a really big impression at Salisbury, what he beat. I'm not quite sure, but he did it in very impressive style. Only got an official rating of 90, so seems to have plenty to do. Called Cool Company in this race as a mark of 113, and even with the £3 penalty, you know, he's pretty well in against everything bar War Envoy. I'm a little bit with your comment in the sense that I would slightly prefer Mohit, because I think he's the one that's possibly got more improvement in him. Certainly, I don't think the trip will be a problem.
Mm.
And I think almost he'll probably be trained for today, because there's no warm up with him really as such. They've got to find out, hit the ground running with him, and he's got to be impressive in this to justify any sort of classic hopes at all. Because with a mark of 90, that if he gets buried in this, they might as well revise their plans. Yep. There's no point in running anything other than this.
Okay. Well, and as you said, Cool Company, a fact finding mission, if you like.
Yeah.
But like I said, you couldn't rule many of the others out. I mean, Hail the Hero on ratings has no chance, but. No. Has a recent run, which will help. You've got War Envoy, who's only won one race so far. Will run creditably, you'd imagine, but doesn't seem to like sticking his head in front.
Yeah. Certainly his win record isn't great, is it? And it looks like he should have won. You would have expected him to have won at Dundalk, really. Mm. Had every chance there. I'm struggling to see what sort of trip he gets, because he travels quite strongly, but then almost shapes every time as though he needs further. And I think he probably will be better at a mile rather than 7 furlongs round Dundalk. Mm. But as possibly what I would expect to be, certainly at the front of the market, maybe even favourite, with that run under his belt, Ryan Moore teaming up with O'Brien, I'm just not sure I'd want him carrying my money, really. I'm not sure how much more there is to come from him.
Okay.
I mean, a horse I like in the race is White Lake. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure this is going to be his cup final tomorrow. I would be fairly sure that the way Luca Kamani would train his horses is that there'd be something left in the tank. If he wins this tomorrow, I think this is a serious horse.
Yeah.
For him to have a winner in mid-April with a horse that he's got probably plenty, of high opinion of, and probably target throughout the summer, this horse is never going to be 100% ready tomorrow.
Okay.
And if he wins, I think you've got to sort of mark him as a serious contender for all the big races this year. But I think he'll run a nice race, and people after the race, I'm expecting to be thinking, White Lake, look at him for some races to come. But as regards tomorrow, I think I'm going to be looking at Mohit as the selection.
Okay, Mohit the pick then for Richard Tannen and Frankie Dettori in the Craven. We'll move to the jumpers then. We'll start with the 3:15 from Cheltenham, which is a mare's handicap hurdle. It's a listed event to 2 mile 5 furlong and 110 yards, so the extended 2 mile 5 furlong trip here. 13 runners going to post. And you've got a real mix here of horses that arrive here in really, really good form. The likes of Streets of Promise, perhaps Bonfay down at the bottom there, My Legal Lady even, who do arrive in good nick. But then towards the top, you've got the likes of Lunique, who is way clear on ratings, but is lumbered with a really heavy weight. Blue Buttons, who constantly runs in these kind of races. Gary Derwin takes what could be a valuable 7 off there. The Governess, who's a few of these are coming back from little breaks. They've missed Cheltenham, they've missed Aintree, and that could be key. And Broxbourne as well, who's been in good nick in sort of lesser races, but deserves this sort of step up. It's quite an intriguing race, John.
Yeah, it is. The sort of main two horses that I was looking at here, and one of them is right down there at the bottom of the weights. Stuart Howe, you always used to do well in this race, and he actually won it one year with Silver Charmer. And I think she ran in the race 2 or 3 years running and always performed admirably. Mm. Always wanted the good ground and seemed to get it to order almost every year. And my Legal Lady has been running well recently. She ran really well at Newton Abbott. Was just really tanked around the track and just ran into one, to be honest. Runs a little bit out the handicap here, and that might just be her undoing. And I expect she'll run well without winning, I think. But she certainly catches the eye.
Okay.
But the one I'm going to go for, which goes a little bit against what I've been saying earlier on, because the first thing people are going to say, it's won its last two races on heavy ground.
Right.
It's Streets of Promise. But I think the horse has... I don't think it matters, really, because it's got form... won a bumper on good ground at Hexham. Mm-hmm. Won its point-to-points on good ground. And almost, I think, that it was probably won despite the heavy ground at Warwick and Wincanton. I think this is just a mare that's in real good form. She's been doing some nice times, nice numbers. And when she beat Millicent Silver, she just won in a hack for me. And I think the handicap has been fairly kind on 125, because I think when she beat Rhythm Star at Wincanton, I'd have probably had her about 125 after that win.
Okay.
And I just think she's well handicapped, in right good form. The stable's in real good nick as well, Michael Scudamore. Most of their horses that are expected to run well are doing so. And I'd expect a real big performance for Streets of Promise to round off a good season for her tomorrow.
Okay. So Streets of Promise to pick then in the mare's race at Cheltenham. Certainly an intriguing race with plenty of old favourites running there. The next race that we're going to look at is the 4:25 from Cheltenham. Handicap hurdle over 3 miles. 12 runners going to post for this one. And again, some really nice types that have been a lot of them on the go throughout the season. Akalim is one who hasn't really done a great deal wrong, John. We'll start with Akalim. Hasn't done a great deal wrong. Really creditable run at Cheltenham in the Potemps Network final. But again, maybe doesn't win quite as often as you'd like. His win-to-run ratio isn't bad by any means, but just seems like one of those horses that, when push comes to shove, may just be out-battled here, despite the fact that he does have the class to go very, very close.
Yeah, and you know, he's been pushed up to 135, was doing well in his novice races, although didn't always look straightforward even early on. Like you say, ran well at Haydock behind Bygone Sovereign and a good run at Cheltenham. I just wonder, John Ferguson, like, he hasn't had a winner since February. I just wonder whether his horses have just had enough, and, you know, the way they're trained, I don't know, maybe the yard, I don't know what it is, but the fact is they haven't had a winner since February, and this is a tough enough race. Off 135, I'd be looking elsewhere myself, and, well, I am looking elsewhere. And I'll tell you where I'm going straight away. I'm going to last year's winner.
All right.
Kingsmere, trained by Henry Daly. It looks to me as though this has just been trained for this race.
Yeah.
It absolutely hosed up in this race last year. It almost looked at going to the last as if it had just joined in. Mm. When you compare it to last year's race, I mean, it's won off 119 last year, won by 10 lengths, he could have won by 15 or more. And he's only off 125, and he's off £6 higher. And ground was a bit too soft for him in the winter when he was running around his local track. I wouldn't say anything was probably massively expected on his local track on ground that was too soft for him that day, and he was probably just being ticked over.
Yeah.
But his form on good ground is pretty decent, to be fair. I can't see anything other than a good run tomorrow. If he turns up anything like the form he was in this race last year, he must run well.
Okay. And prior to the race last year, was given a healthy break, as he has been here as well. So
yeah. Really does fit the bill, to be honest. I mean, Western Joe looked a tricky customer last time at the start, almost didn't, but there they've put the blinkers on first time. I wouldn't quite know how that's going to respond. Milan Bounds got the headgear on first time as well. I mean, Sybarite's got good form around Cheltenham, but I'd be worried about the drawing ground for him. He comes on and off the bridle plenty enough. I just think he'll get outpaced mid-race, and I just expect Kingsmere to come there travelling.
Okay, so Kingsmere the pick in the 4.25. The final race we're going to look at is the 5 o'clock. It is a novices limited handicap chase over the extended 3-mile, 1-furlong trip. 10 runners down to go to post in this one. A lot of informed types here, John. You've got Midnight Request, who comes here seeking a hat-trick. A Good Skin was a good winner last time out. Quite by Chance has been in good form. Plenty that you can give chances to here.
Yeah, and I'll be perfectly honest with you here. There's people who know me know that I don't actually do chase form.
Okay.
Which is...
yeah.
But when you told me the races that we were looking at today, and I looked at this race, and there was a horse that just caught my eye last time.
Okay.
And strangely enough, it caught my eye in a flat race. Teak. And the more I've looked at it since we've been looking at this race, I can really make a case for this horse. His handicap mark of 116 is based on two chase runs.
Mm-hmm.
His hurdles mark is 227. He's an 85 rated flat horse that was really progressive at the back end of last season and went off only 16-1 in the Cesarewitch. Now, the faster the ground, good, decent, fast ground is what this horse wants. He's run around Fakenham last time around a fast track. The fences were just coming at him too quick. He hadn't got headgear on. He's gone off 5-4 favourite. Didn't jump particularly well. Now, it doesn't particularly worry me. That was like months and months ago. I would imagine there's been plenty of schooling done with the horse. He jumped okay at Worcester on his debut last summer. So this is going to be his third go over fences. And I think they've just got a very well handicapped horse. If they've put the time into this, which I presume they will have done, because I'm sure they've probably targeted this race, hence the run at Kempton on the 4th of April, when really and truthfully, I just thought he was having a blowout. And it did look that way, and he's run okay. He's only got beat 6 lengths in a decent handicap. I would say that this, again, has been marked off in the racing calendar by Ian Williams for quite some time, off a mark of 116. Ian Williams, fairly local to Cheltenham, loves having winners here, like so many people do, but I know he particularly does, even from the days when he had his early winners here, like Brewster and things like that. So I'd be fairly confident that Teague's going to put in a good, a decent run tomorrow. Let's hope the jumping holds up. If the jumping holds up, I think off this mark, he's a right good bet.
Okay, so you're going to get the each way bet, barring plenty of absentees.
I'm not sure whether I'd back him each way though. To be honest,
I think it's all or nothing.
Well, because I mean, if his jumping does fall apart, you know, that you're taking that. We're taking the chance.
Okay.
Now, but I think if his jumping holds up, he's just a win bet, because I think he's going to go very, very close. But I don't know whether I'd want to throw the place part about and watch him hit the third fence and then he's out the race.
So. Okay, but likely to go off probably double figure price, you'd imagine. If not, then eights or nines.
Well, I think you'd expect to see some kind of a price, wouldn't you? After that Fakenham run, people's going to put a question mark against
it. And there are plenty of informed rivals, so.
Well, another key to it is the cheek piece he's going back on, you see. He's run at Fakenham, he ran without them. He had a run round at Kempton without them. I think tomorrow they've put the cheek pieces back on. The horse will concentrate better, I would expect. And let's see a bigger run tomorrow.
Well, career stats with cheek pieces on. If you go back to 2010, was eighth, but we'll ignore that one. But more recently, had them on in June at Pontefract when winning. Then third, first, second, first, and seventh. But that was in the
Sarawich. That was in the Sarawich, yeah.
Which you can excuse.
Yeah.
So, very interesting. Okay, so Teak, the pick, a very interesting pick as well in the 5 o'clock at Cheltenham. Can you spin us through your picks, John? The one at Newmarket and the three at Cheltenham on Thursday, please.
Yeah, we're going for in the Craven Stakes at Newmarket, 4:05. We're going for Richard Hannon and Frankie Dettori with Mahit. And in the 3:15, the Mayor's Handicap Hurdle at Cheltenham, with Michael Scudamore trained Streets of Promise. And the 4:25, the 3 mile handicap hurdle there, we're going for then Henry Daly trained Kingsmere. And in the 5 o'clock, the 3 mile 1.5 handicap chase for novices, all Midlands trainers here, going for on the jumps, Teak, trained by Ian Williams.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.